We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our next community meal will be Saturday, March 16th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Please come and eat and fellowship with everyone. We love sharing with our community here at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. And parents, we will be hosting an Easter egg hunt on Saturday, March 23rd at 10 a.m. Please come and bring the little ones to 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. And then come back the next day, Sunday, March 24th, from 4 to 6 p.m., as we will be teaching the kids what Jesus went through on His way to die on the cross for us. Once again, we are at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Okay. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22, followed by our sermon, Too Good to Miss, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, He went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. God's word for God's people.
Praise be to God. C.S. Lewis, in his famous book, Mere Christianity, tells a story of a young schoolboy who was asked what he thought of God. And he said, "Well, as near as I can figure, He's one of these snooping people that snoops all around to watch and see what we are doing. And if we're having any fun at all, He puts a stop to it." You know, that idea that God smotes everything. Very sad. But this young boy's perception of God is one that a lot of people have. A lot of people believe that our God is a punitive God, that He is waiting up there, that He is roving the earth looking for somebody to punish. That is not my relationship with God. Those who see God as this kind of punitive deity more than likely see Lent as a long 40-day period where God looks down waiting to smote you and making sure that you don't have any fun whatsoever. I'm glad that Lent really isn't like that. But you know, just the sound of the question, "So what are you giving up for Lent?" makes people nervous. Have you ever given up anything for Lent? I can tell you, a couple years back, I gave up coffee for Lent. I had two churches at the time, and I was teaching in Pendleton Prison behind the wall. And they all told me, especially those guys in the prison, "Pastor, don't ever do that again." My second church had a cup of coffee, just the way I like it, waiting in the pulpit. We are asked to give up something for Lent so that we can identify with the suffering of Christ. But let's be honest. If you give up meat, if you give up chocolate, even if you give up coffee, theoretically anyway, you won't miss it after 2 or 3 weeks. I believe that a better practice for Lent is adding something in. That's why those papers back there give us suggestions of ideas, reading through the scriptures, adding in a psalm, adding in a proverb. Mark and I are going to be adding something in. We are going to begin an online devotional. It'll be posted on Trinity's Facebook page and on YouTube, so stay tuned. He'll probably do better at reading some of them than I do. He's got the greatest radio voice. I told him I might learn something about preaching from him. It is true that Lent, the word Lent coming from the Anglo-Saxon word lecten, meaning spring, began as a time for self-examination. The number of 40 days comes from Jesus' 40-day experience of temptation in the wilderness. But you know, a long time ago, just 100 years after Christ was crucified and raised again, they had a very short period of fasting. It was only 40 hours long. And then it increased to a week long. And then the Council of Nicaea got a hold of it in 325 AD. And it became a 40-day long observance of Christ's journey. And it included the Sundays. A little bit later, they decided that they were going to start the Lenten observance on Ash Wednesday. Not sure who made that decision, but it did make it to where Sundays were no longer included. In other words, whatever you give up for Lent, if you give up chocolate, if you give up meat, or you give up coffee, you get to have that on Sunday. Man-made rules. But I will tell you, this time of self-examination, this time of self-reflection can build our relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit like nothing else can. We are called to give up something. I personally believe in adding in something. We are called to seek the scriptures. We are called to do works of piety and works of mercy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. And beloved, I'm going to need all your prayers next weekend. I won't be here. Pastor Gary Dyer will be here, and he is an exciting pastor. But you all are part of the ministry that I have with going up to Jackson County Jail. I'll be up there with 30 inmates, bringing them to the love of Christ Jesus, helping them to turn their lives around. We'll be singing, we'll be eating, we'll be hearing talks. Has anybody been on an Emmaus walk? This is very much like an Emmaus walk, but in the jail. You all are part of it. I'd like to ask you to pray from now until next weekend that everybody stays healthy, and pray that I am given the words as a spiritual director to make an impression on these women's hearts so that their lives may be changed. And if anybody wants to help make the lunch that Mark is going to be making and taking up to the jail, you can see one of us, and we'll get you together with him Saturday morning, and you can come up, deliver the food, and say hello to all the ladies. I have to wonder, do most people look at Lent like that little boy looked at God? Do we believe that it is a total bummer excluding anything joyful from our lives? Or is it really something else? Is it something to design a deeper relationship with God? The Reverend Dan Hoffman from Geneva, New York, a little Lutheran church there, wrote an article for his newsletter in which he suggested that Lent was a time for pampering and nurturing ourselves, not the body. We're not to give in to every little whim and desire. It is a discipline. Lent is a discipline. But he suggests that it is a time to nurture our relationship with our Heavenly Father, to pamper ourselves with the love that our Father so wanted to give us in sending Christ Jesus to die upon the cross for us, to remove from us our sin, to reconcile us with the Father. I continue to believe that our society today is filled with dis-ease. It is filled with corruption. It is a simmering in the belly of our culture. It is what drives us towards violence. That break in the relationship with God, the umbilical cord has been broken in a lot of people, and the result is apathy. The result is violence, drugs, alcohol. The result is children shooting up schools because they so desperately want to be seen. The result is mass violence. I firmly believe, has anybody ever read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters? It's a difficult book to read, but it is fantastic. It talks about Satan instructing his demon to do everything that the demon can to prevent us from worshiping God, to prevent us from praying, to prevent us from having a deep relationship with God. He says, keep them so busy that they can't pray. And what I firmly believe, though it's not written in the book, about 1940, Satan and his demon Wormwood set out an attack upon the family, upon marriage. And we are now living with the result. As the generations went on, there were more and more divorces. There were more and more broken families. As a result of those broken families, we have mental illnesses. Now, some of those mental illnesses are organic or chemical, and we'd have them anyway. But a lot of them come from brokenness, come from pain, and come from abuse. Satan knew what he was doing when he went after the family. Satan knew what he was doing when he went after the church, and he caused differences and divisions. Beloved, I don't care if it is political or denominational. I ask you today to make a commitment not to allow these differences to separate us as a church. These differences, whether they be about homosexuality, about abortion, about the different theologies with baptism, communion, or ordination policies, do nothing but cause division and break down the love that we are to have for one another in the church. It is simply too important for us to miss. The basic tenet of our faith is that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son to die upon a cross to take away our sins. Now, beloved, that is too important for us to miss out on. That is too important for us to let Wormwood, the demon, come in and distract us from our relationship with God, with anything. I don't care what it is. This particular letter in 1 Peter was written in a similar time to what we are living in now. There was no out-and-out persecution of the church from the emperor. There is no dictate from the president of the United States that we cannot worship our God. But our society tries to fit anything into that God hole in the schools. You can talk about Buddhism. You can talk about Islam. You can even talk about Wicca. But you can't talk about Jesus Christ. You can't hang a picture of Jesus Christ in the stable, in the manger, on the bulletin board. But you can talk about all these other things. All of these other things have begun to corrupt our society. I firmly believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that these are all symptoms, deep, deep symptoms of a suffering of the spirit, which comes from being cut off from our Creator, which comes from being cut off from the grace of God, the mercy and the love and the forgiveness. Can any of you relate? Such a constant struggle can become a truly burdensome thing over time. Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles, to the outcasts, to the ones who believed that they were aliens here on earth, whether they be in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, or any other place. All of these localities are Asia Minor, or what is now considered modern-day Turkey. And there are terrible wars that have been going on in that area for a long time. A lot of them now point to the end days. This letter of 1 Peter is for us, because it is a letter of encouragement to all people who are suffering for their faith. People who feel different from one another. Do you have trouble talking where you work about God? Do you have trouble sharing your faith in general in society? It's easy for us to share our faith right here in the church with people who are like-minded. It is much more difficult to share your faith with people who don't know Jesus Christ. They make fun of you. I don't believe in that stuff. I do. And I will continue to talk about God. Peter reminds his believers that the very core of the gospel by which we live proclaims the simple truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we would be brought unto God the Father. They killed his mortal body so that his spirit might live, so that our spirits might live on in eternity, so that when ashes to ashes and dust occurs and we die and we are buried in the ground, our spirit will continue on. This time of Lent is a time of transformation. It is a time where we reconnect, where we reattach that umbilical cord, where we connect deeply with God the Father, where He nourishes us with His Word. What we need to see most through our suffering, whether it's watching a loved one go through cancer, whether it's watching a loved one deal with addiction, whether it's the loss of a job, the loss of a marriage, whatever our suffering is, what you and I need most is the same thing that 1 Peter was giving to the people then. We need the hope that Jesus Christ is with us and walks with us in everything we do. When we are suffering deeply, He is with us. He cries with us. He cried with Mary and Martha when Lazarus was dead. He knew He was going to call Lazarus forth from the grave. Take off those stinking, rotten grave clothes. He knew that was coming. But he watched Mary and Martha crying, and he entered into the depth of their grief. Our Lord walks with us in grief. And let me tell you something. If you know in the depth of your being that Christ Jesus walks with you and is with you, you can face anything, even death. Christ knew that his Father was with him and he could face up to death. The martyrs faced up to death because they knew that Christ was with them, giving them strength, that he wept with them, that he loved them. That is what humanity needs now, is knowing in the depth of our being that Christ Jesus is with us. Too many people nowadays take every flash of lightning, every bump in the night, and contribute it like that little boy did to a punitive God, looking to smote them, looking to punish them. I read a story not too long ago. It was a completely different theology than that little boy. There was a little girl that every day walked to her elementary school, and one morning she got up and the weather, it didn't look so great outside, but she grabbed her umbrella and off to school she went. Clouds started forming. It became dark. Thunder and lightning began to roll about the time school let out. And the mother became worried for her little girl, that her little girl would be frightened walking home in this. And then as the storm continued, mom was worried that this electrical storm might actually harm her daughter. So she jumped in the car and she drove along the route that the child walked. And then she saw little Sally up there just a little bit. But the child was doing something very strange. Every single time the lightning flashed, the child would stand still in her place and she would look up to the sky and the biggest smile came across her face. The mother watched her for a moment. Then she drove up and said, "Get in the car. What are you doing?" The little girl looked at her and she said, "God kept taking my picture. So every time his camera flashed, I smiled." Now that's a completely different theology or relationship with God than that little boy who thought that God was looking for every reason to punish. Our God walks with us as we suffer from various pains of being human, as we affirm our faith in a world that just doesn't get us. Let us remembering the suffering of Jesus Christ. So this Lent, we can allow our fears, our guilt, and our questions to rise to the surface, to be exposed to the light of God's grace. Nothing but nothing is better than the light of God's grace. And perhaps after spending time doing some of those works of mercy, doing some of those works of piety, we will be ready with new vim and with new vigor to say on Easter morning, "He is risen." Perhaps this Easter will be different than all of the Easters that have gone before. Perhaps we will truly enter into a deepened relationship with our God. Perhaps it will transform our hearts and our way of thinking. Beloved, nothing, whether it be silent or vocal, whether it be denominational or political, none of these differences make the slightest difference on Good Friday. And they certainly don't make a difference on Resurrection morning. So drop them. Let them go. focus on the tenet of our faith. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever might believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Seems so far away, a million miles or more it feels today. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. But I don't know what to say, I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing, I will pray. Even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, I will pray. Your word is true, I will sing. Lord, it's hard for me to see all the thoughts and plans you have for me. Yes, it is. But I will put my trust in you, knowing that you died. Set me free. Oh, thank God you did. But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace,